Well, thank you, Kent. Thank you for leading us this morning in a time of worship and praise. Well, good morning. Let me add my hello to Pastor Kent, and I'm glad that we could all be here this morning. I don't know about you, but I kind of enjoyed last week. It was odd to sit at home and to see the service going forward, and I was very encouraged as it went forward because I noticed that our brother Bill Martin in Senegal had signed on to watch the service. How exciting that is to think that our brother in Senegal could sign in and participate with his home church. I just think that was a real blessing. And I'm hopeful that you've been able to settle into some kind of day-to-day pattern that's making some sense for you, that's making this time a little more tolerable these days as we do the whole social distancing thing. I know that it's been a mighty challenge for me to settle into new rhythms. I find I'm starting just now to get used to the groove of these online chats and video meetings and video Bible studies and endless text messages. But I find that I still miss that in-person contact. But in the middle of all the electronic noise, I'm also finding myself more settled these days. And I'm glad that we can share in this time together and just be united in worship, even though we're spread out all over Ulster County and in Dutchess County and even north of us. It's just good to know that the Spirit of God is at work in us and through us and can draw us into a time of worship even when we're socially distant. And now that we've spent some time singing our praises to God and getting our hearts and minds focused on Him, my hope is that we'll be able to indulge ourselves now in a time in the Word, and that His Spirit will be at work in us, again, uniting our hearts together as we look at the Word and drawing us into an ever-deepening relationship with Jesus. So if you have your Bible, why don't you take a look at it, and we're going to open up to Mark chapter 10, verses 46 and 52. And while you're doing that, it'll give me lots of time to put on my glasses so I can read this for you all. So this is the Word of God. And then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Father God, I'm thankful for your word. The word that we're told is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, able to penetrate to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And I pray now, Father, you would take these words and meditations of my heart and that you would use them to magnify your name. I pray, Father God, that you would glorify yourself in this moment. I pray, Father God, that your Spirit would go out among all of us, spread out all over, and that you would unite us in a very unique way today as we focus on the same passage of Scripture. And I pray, Father God, that in all things, in all ways, you'll receive the praise and the glory and the honor that is so due your name. Be with us in this time, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, you know, a number of years ago, I had the opportunity to go up to Howe Caverns up in Schoharie County. That's north of us. And for the uninitiated, Howe Caverns is a tourist attraction, okay, that allows you to tour this massive limestone cave that sits approximately 156 feet below the Earth's surface. And I'm told that it is the second most visited natural attraction in New York State next to Niagara Falls. Now the last time I was in a cave was probably when I was a little boy during a summer camp experience. And I have to tell you, it wasn't super fun. I'm not particularly fond of confined spaces. And I'm not particularly fond of all the other stuff you find in dark, damp holes in the ground. So I'm not sure what actually got me on this trip, because I understood what we were going to see. But nevertheless, I found myself at Howe Caverns. And the tour begins with this elevator ride that takes you 15 stories into the very bowels of the earth, okay? And as we stepped out of the elevator, I was already feeling pretty anxious. But tour wasn't too bad. Little boat ride on a little stream, a little river down there, you know, there's a lake of sorts. But after we had gone through the tour, when we were deep inside the cave, the guide decided, as a part of the tour, that he would shut off the lights. Now, I've got to tell you, I have never experienced darkness like I did on that day. It wasn't just darkness. It was advanced darkness. I mean, this was inky dark, and it was completely unnerving. And although I knew that my hand was right there in front of my face, because my brain told me it was right there in front of my face, and I generally am aware of where my appendages are at any one given time, so my hand was right there, but I couldn't see it. And I knew there were people around me, because we had come into the cave with them, and I'm an adult, I realized they hadn't vanished when the lights went off, and I could hear them. But I couldn't see them. They could have been right up on top of me. And unless I felt their breath, I wouldn't have known they were there. I could not wait for those lights to come back. In the darkness, I found myself sort of frozen in place. And I'm sure that the lights were off for only a moment or two. But man, was it unnerving. In the dark, I felt completely disoriented. And I felt incredibly vulnerable. And in that moment, I was utterly dependent upon our leader. I was utterly dependent on the people around us as well, that they wouldn't do anything foolish. Just thinking about trying to paw my way out of that darkness filled me with this instant dread. And in those moments, I was putting all my hope in the guide. I was hoping and trusting that he was going to turn those lights back on again. And if he hadn't, I probably would have burst out, "Hey man, turn on the lights, this is crazy stuff." And I had such a tangible sense of relief, the sense of release when he finally turned on those lights. And from that moment on, I watched him like a hawk. Man, I was thinking to myself, don't you dare turn those lights off again, man, because I may have to do something bad to make sure that doesn't happen. And I followed him really closely because it was clear to me that he was the only way I was going to be getting out of that cave and seeing the light of day again. So in the scripture verse this morning, in the scriptures we read, we were introduced to Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was a man who lived in darkness. And it must have been a hard life, because Mark tells us that Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road outside Jericho, and he was begging. He probably was only barely able to meet his basic needs. And his financial distress, well, his financial distress would have been seen and noticed by everybody, because they would have seen him on the road. They would have seen his clothing. They would have understood his condition. And if that wasn't enough, his suffering was likely made even worse because a lot of people of the day thought that a person's blindness was a result of their sin. This would have left him socially isolated as well, separated from the general life of the community. And let's face it, there's nothing quite like the derision that comes when other people think that your suffering is due to some choice that you made. Well, you know it's his own fault that he's that way. You know it's because he did that that's why he's having such trouble. So Bartimaeus was vulnerable. Bartimaeus was isolated from others as he sat there in his own darkness alongside the road. And you know, I imagine, I imagine he expected that day would look very much like the others that preceded it. Because his cave was deep. And his cave was dark. And I'm guessing that he didn't see a way out. But Bartimaeus became aware that there was a large crowd coming. Always seems there was a large crowd around Jesus. And my guess is that his begging skills had gotten him to the place where he was pretty attuned to the environment around him. And he was aware that there was this group coming. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." It's like someone crying out in the dark, "I'm here, I'm here." I can imagine myself sitting in that cave with the lights out and calling out to a rescuer, "I'm here, I'm out, I'm over here." But Bartimaeus may have been looking for just a donation, right? He may have been just looking for some more cash because I'm sure he needed the money. But notice that Bartimaeus calls Jesus the Son of David. And this kind of sort of clues us into the fact that the Spirit of God was already at work in Bartimaeus. The Spirit of God was already at work in Bartimaeus, opening his eyes in a spiritual sense to see that Jesus was different. You see, that title, Son of David, was a reference to the Messiah. It's the one, the Messiah, it's the one who the prophets spoke of. The one who would come and save his people. The one who would be attested to by healing the blind. Because throughout the scripture, blindness is not only a physical condition, but it's also used as a metaphor for people's inability to serve and follow God. You see, to walk in the light was to follow God, and to live in darkness was to live apart from him. So this curse of darkness, this darkness that Bartimaeus felt, it would have been very deep for him. Not simply the ability to not see around him, but he would have understood how the scriptures spoke of that kind of darkness. So the Messiah would be the one who would heal physical blindness, but it would be a picture of the light that he was bringing into the world, a picture of the very salvation that he was bringing to the world. And when the crowd heard that Bartimaeus was shouting out, some of the people around Jesus rebuked Bartimaeus, told him to be quiet. But Bartimaeus wasn't going to let this moment pass by. He was blind, but he had a voice. And he was going to use that voice. And he shouted out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So it would seem that Bartimaeus wasn't just looking for another coin to sustain him in the darkness. He wasn't looking for another coin to somehow make his darkness more palatable. He was looking for something so much more. And he was convinced that Jesus was the one who could make it possible. Because Jesus was the Son of David. And with the coming of Jesus, Bartimaeus saw the possibility. And Bartimaeus had a spark of hope that he would be free of his blindness and he'd be free of this curse, of this darkness that was upon him. And after he got louder, Mark tells us in verse 49 that Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Now, there were a lot of folks in the crowd. There were a lot of folks in the crowd, most of whom hadn't really figured out who Jesus was. I mean, they're following him and all, because he's a good teacher. He's a miracle worker. He was a first century celebrity. And every now and again, if you follow long enough, he feeds the whole crowd. I mean, who doesn't like a potluck? And because they don't know who he is, they assume that Jesus, like every other important person of the day, every other person who is a person, won't have time for someone like Bartimaeus. After all, he's blind. And he's poor, and he's a nobody, just sitting there. I'm sure he didn't look a good sight either. And so they scold him. They tell him to be quiet. It strikes me that sometimes the people of God, the people that call themselves believers, can sometimes be some of the most cruel people around. I hate to say that, but I think it's true. I think it's true that sometimes what happens is that we see someone in need and we forget who Jesus is. And we forget what Jesus can do and wants to do for those who are hurting, those who are in pain, those whose darkness feels so deep. And so they call out and we got other things to do. We got programs to run, or we got this to do or that to do. And we miss the opportunities, and they potentially miss the opportunity to come to know Jesus. But we recognize. But there were some who recognized that Jesus isn't just a miracle worker. For Bartimaeus, he wasn't just a good teacher or a meal ticket or a first century celebrity. Bartimaeus knew he was the Son of God. He was the Son of David. And this reminds me of when I was a kid. I don't remember where we were. I think it was Disneyland. But I was trying to get my dad's attention. It was a big crowd, and he was doing something. So I was yelling, "Daddy! Dad!" And I shouldn't probably jump up and down. I'm jumping up and down. In fact, I don't know if I told you this, but the doctor, when I went, told me not to jump up and down, so I'm doing something I shouldn't do. Okay, so he was jumping up and down. I was saying, "Daddy, Dad," and I'm waving my hands, and I'm trying to get his attention. It wasn't working. And so instead, I yelled out, "Wesley Earl Smith!" Well, that got his attention. It broke through the noise of the world, and he looked over at me. He looked at me because it was unique. He looked at me because that name signaled that the person who was calling for him was his child or was someone he knew, and someone who knew him. Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. He knew he was the Son of David. So in faith, he called out to him. And having called out to Jesus, he was received by Jesus, just as the word says. All who call on the name will be saved. We sometimes forget that. All who call on the name will be saved. And having called on Bartimaeus, notice that now the crowd's all in. They were rebuking him a minute ago. And now they're saying, "Hey, cheer up. Get on your feet. He's calling you." Forgetting that they were the ones who had been rebuking him. It wasn't Jesus who turned away from him. It was they who had rebuked him. Sometimes we don't see the need around us, right? Sometimes we don't see the need around us. But then we love to hear the testimonies. We love to hear it when someone's come to Jesus and we say, "Oh, that's terrific." But I wonder sometimes if we miss it in the moment. But we'll cheer it on after the work's being done already by Jesus. How fickle we can be. But in reply to the call, Bartimaeus jumped up and he went to Jesus. And when he got to Jesus, Mark tells us in verse 51, he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, for some people, this is confusing, and we'd say, "Well, does Jesus not know? I thought he knew all men. I thought he knew everything." And I think he did. I think he knew exactly what Bartimaeus needed. But I think Jesus asked these questions because I think it's a way of plumbing the depths of the person's heart. You see, because these other people had come to him before and they had wanted something from him. Even his disciples had come and they wanted to sit at his right hand and his left hand when his kingdom came. They wanted power. They wanted authority. But Jesus wanted to hear from Bartimaeus, this one who had so clearly declared he was the Son of David. Not because he didn't know, but because he wanted Bartimaeus to lay out his need before him, to trust him enough to give him the whole kahuna, to tell him what he wanted. "So what do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus puts all his cards on the table. I think I would have liked Bartimaeus. He laid them all out. He said, "Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see." Now, Bartimaeus had already declared Jesus to be the Son of David, the Messiah of God. Now he was putting himself out there all the more by making it clear that he believed not only that Jesus was the Son of David, but that he also had the power to heal him. It's like this. It's one thing to trust and believe and declare that you believe that all planes can fly. That's pretty straightforward. It's quite another thing to actually travel. It's actually another thing to lay your money down and buy a ticket and choose to get in that flying tube. It's one thing to declare that you think Jesus is the Son of David. It's one thing to declare that you think that Jesus is the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. But it's quite another to take him at his word and trust him with your life and trust him with your sin. And trust him with your darkness. And trust that he can change your life. And he will. And that's what Bartimaeus was doing. He was trusting that Jesus was going to be able to pull him out of the physical darkness that he had been in all his life. And then Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you." And immediately Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now, let's not get confused. And don't let your heart be dragged into thinking that this was about the amount of faith that Bartimaeus had. You know, like saying, well, Bartimaeus had a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of faith. But if he had had an 8, or if he had had a 9, or if he had doubted in some way, well, then it probably wouldn't have happened. It would have all gone south. Jesus isn't saying that Bartimaeus' faith is of a particular quality or a particular quantity, and that's why he was healed. No, instead, Jesus is saying that Bartimaeus' faith, his confidence in Jesus, had been the means of his healing. It was the power and will of Christ that brought about the cure, and the power was applied in connection with Bartimaeus' faith. Faith is the instrument. It's not the power itself. Its value does not come from the one who expresses it, but from the object upon which it rests. I want to say that again. Faith's value does not come from the one who expresses it, but from the object upon which it rests. Reminds me of the story of Evelyn Moores. Evelyn Moores was giving a mountaineering presentation, and apparently she attached a rappelling rope to a drainpipe grate on the roof of a local county bank. Now, Evelyn was an experienced rappeller. She had scaled Mount Rainier in Washington State, so this whole rappelling exercise from the bank building, it was routine, you know, easily done. She had done it many, many times in other places, except for one miscalculation. You see, the drain pipe grating that she hooked to wasn't anchored. And so when she stepped out over the edge of that building, when she leaned out, everyone watched as Evelyn fell to her death. Her faith in the grating was fatally misplaced. Our faith in salvation, placed upon anything other than Jesus Christ, is a tragic miscalculation. Because there is no other name under heaven by which it is determined that a man or woman will be saved. To Bartimaeus' faith was in Jesus. And it was Jesus who had the power to bring Bartimaeus from the darkness and into the light, both physically and spiritually. And in an instant, Bartimaeus' life was changed. I can't even imagine the explosion in his mind when he opened his eyes and could see. It must have been overwhelmingly beautiful. And what did Bartimaeus do with his newly gifted eyesight? Well, he went back to begging. No, he didn't go back to begging. Oh, no, he went back into town to brag to all the other people about how much faith he had had and how Jesus had been impressed with his faith, and that's why he was now able to see. No. You know what Bartimaeus did? Bartimaeus, when his eyesight restored, chose to follow Jesus. Because that's what disciples do. Disciples follow Jesus. And they continue to follow Jesus. Bartimaeus left behind the life he knew. He left behind that life that was shrouded in darkness, and he followed Jesus as Jesus made his way to Jerusalem for the last time. And it was there in Jerusalem that Jesus was going to be crucified. It was there in Jerusalem that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead in a final act of God's awesome, triumphant, salvific power. And although it's not attested to in the scripture, I like to think that Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, got to witness it all with his newly minted eyes. He got to see the triumph of Christ's risen, his resurrection. He got to see the pain of what Jesus suffered for on our behalf, and he would have been able to see the triumph. What a great thing to set your eyes upon that, those 3 days. What a blessing. So we've talked about a man who lived in darkness. A man called out in faith in Jesus. And a man who Jesus broke through the darkness for and who restored his physical sight. Jesus uses this healing of Bartimaeus, his physical blindness, not only to demonstrate who he is, but also as a picture of the healing he intends to do in our lives. When you and I come to Christ in faith, Jesus brought spiritual light into our lives. He brought a light that pierced our spiritual darkness, and he gave us new sight. And just as Bartimaeus uses his sight to follow Jesus, those who have received Christ in faith are now called to use their sight to follow him and to leave the life they knew when they lived in darkness. And imagine, just imagine for a moment what we'll witness. Imagine what we'll witness as we continue to follow him in these troublesome days, in these days when our routines and our comforts are challenged, when we're not sure what's going to happen with the economy, we're not sure what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, things change so rapidly. And in those times when we start to feel vulnerable and insecure and afraid and unsure, the devil wants us to think that we're still living in the dark because it's not going our way. He wants us to forget the new life that we've received. But if you've received Christ Jesus in faith, you no longer live in darkness, gang. Christ's light has been given to you, and you have new eyes to see him at work. So keep those new eyes, those fresh eyes, those light-filled eyes fixed on Jesus in these days. Remember who it was who called you out of the darkness. Remember who you put your trust in. And follow him. And he will lead you through these days, and he will prove himself to be faithful. But perhaps you're listening and you're feeling like, yeah, it's good for someone who knows Jesus, but I'm stuck in a place. I'm stuck in the darkness of my own cave. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, you know, there's no hope for me. This darkness is advanced darkness. I've lived in this cave. I've lived in this darkness for a long, long time. Nothing is going to be able to permeate this. Can I remind you of a man named Bartimaeus? Can I encourage you to call out to Christ like Bartimaeus called out to Christ? He's promised to hear all who call him in faith. And can I remind you and encourage you to trust him to rescue you from the darkness you're living in? There is no darkness that his light can't permeate. There's no sin in your past that his light can't permeate and change. There is nothing that you have done. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ if you've reached out in faith and received Jesus Christ. And with that assurance, know that he will bring you into the light. And he will give you a new vision so you too will be able to follow him. You don't have to stay in the cave. I was so glad to get out of that cave. Bartimaeus was so glad to get out of that darkness. And I pray that today would be the day that the light would shine and you'd step out of your cave and you'd step out of that darkness and into the light of Christ's forgiving love and grace. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for your word, and I entrust this congregation into your care and keeping. And again, Father, I pray that you have received the glory and the honor due your name. You are magnificent and worthy of our praise. And if there is someone that's watching this today and they don't know you, then I pray, Father God, that today would be the day that they would receive you. Today would be the day that they would reach out, call out to you, knowing that you'll receive them. And Father God, if there are those here among us, there's those out there listening and they have already received you. And they're starting to buy into this notion that somehow, no, maybe they haven't, maybe they're still in the darkness. Remind them, Father, that they are in the light, having called upon your name and trusted in you. They are yours. Oh, Father God, thank you for all that you've done. And we continue to give you the praise and the glory and the honor due your holy name. Amen and amen.